You're listening to Life Church Podcast with Pastor Bill Carpenter.
And today, Pastor Bill's introducing this series out of the book of Luke. So we're going to hear Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. This really cool place where Jesus comes into the synagogue and declares some things about himself that we really need to understand as we dive into this topic of finding freedom in our lives. So this is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. And it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" This is God's word. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm very, very excited about this series that we're going into today, from the standpoint that I think it's going to be transformational for Life Church. And by saying it's transformational, I don't mean that in the sense that it's another like growth concept or growth principle, or it's adding more people to Life Church, that sort of thing, that we're changing direction or we're renewing our vision in some way or those kinds of things. We've been doing a lot of work in those kinds of areas leading up until this season where we went into the spiritual disciplines. But the spiritual disciplines did something unique for us, I think. Not only did they inform us and give us the tools that we need so that we can draw near to God and thus God draw near to us, which I think has happened because many of you are giving testimonies of how you are being impacted by the disciplines that you're incorporating in your life and you are encountering God in some very new and very fresh ways. That is wonderful. But I believe that this particular series is going to be transformational in the sense that it is going to transform many of you in terms of your lives. Your lives are going to be transformed through this series that is going to be very much geared and focused on you and I being open, being honest, being transparent, being obedient, being submitted to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the truth of God's Word, and in reality, God's desire to free us from the bondages of sin. This is absolutely, I think, one of the most important things that the church needs right now in this day is for you and I to be delivered, for us to be set free as no longer living in a captivity. And so we've titled this series Freedom, all right? It is living free. It is about you being able to break the chains that have held you for so long in various areas. Now, what I'm going to address today, it's an introductory message to a very long series. I'll be honest with you. We're going to be here for a while. We're going to camp in this place until we see deliverance come. We understand that there is an enemy out there. We're going to talk more about that enemy at one point in this series. But we're going to talk a lot more about Jesus and what he's done and his authority and his power. And your responsibility to submission and to repentance and these sorts of things. But we're even going to get more nitty-gritty than that, and we're going to talk about various battles and struggles that you and I have. And we're going to look at things like anger and fear and shame and guilt and insecurities and lust and pride and all of these kinds of things, and how they get in and how they work through us and how they are toxic and they poison us, and that the sin of these particular areas bring us to the place of such bondage that it literally is death to us. And we're going to break that. We're going to break that off of us as God's people, and we're going to begin to live in the reality of what Christ has done for us on the cross. And I'm really excited about the teachings that Drs. Hitchcock are bringing to us during this time, because I think these next 5 weeks of discipleship training are going to be extremely beneficial. They're going to be very complementary. They're going to work very well with what we're doing on Sunday mornings, all right? This series will go long beyond the discipleship classes, but the discipleship classes will help in terms of establishing the framework that we're going to be going into. So let me go back here and let me just talk to you for a few minutes here about bondage and about coming out of bondage, coming out and being set free. And then I want to just sort of not deviate, but to move, if I can, to shift as we close today into something that is more of a really like a spiritual father, a mentor mode, and just talk to you from my heart today. But I want to start here in this passage of scripture that Pastor Dave read to you. And this is a powerful, powerful passage when we start to look at the nuances of all of what is happening in this place. Jesus has just been 40 days in the wilderness. He has been fasting and praying, and he was tempted by the evil one. He was tempted in all aspects that we might be tempted, and he was able to overcome in every aspect of temptation that was thrown at him by the evil one. And he comes back out of that place, and he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he begins to read from a scroll of the scriptures that is handed to him by one of the attendants of the scrolls, okay? All the scrolls are there. The attendant takes the scroll. He hands it to Jesus. It's interesting to me that this is the particular piece of scripture that is handed to Jesus, and that he then unrolls this particular piece of scripture and finds exactly this particular passage and begins to read it and declares at the end of the reading that what I just read to you has been fulfilled today, meaning I am the fulfillment of this particular promise that has been given to you today, but also was written years and years back for your people, and it has been held and guarded and taken care of until this day. And now I read it to you fresh. I read it to you in a way where you begin to hear it and understand it and know it differently than our forefathers read it. Where you begin to understand that there is an answer that is a now answer in real time for this promise, this prophecy that was written decades and decades and decades and decades and decades ago. And I want to say to you, I want to declare to you today that this same scripture, this same promise, this same Jesus is just as alive and real and powerful and active and desiring to set people free today, to set you free, to set me free, so that we can live outside of the bondages of sin and the death in this world. And I'm telling you today that the church is not immune to bondage. The church is not immune to death. The church is not immune to sin. The reality is we are very much desperately in need of being set free. And so I'm asking you today to join me in a work of deliverance. I'm asking you today to come along with me, if you will. And I believe that God is doing a tremendous work in the church today of calling people out. And our prayer, mine and David's prayer, and hopefully the prayer of all of you, will be that for this series, it is to be transformational for not only for those who are being called out of some kind of Egypt, some kind of bondage, if you will, but those who are tempted to go back into some kind of Egypt, go back into some kind of bondage, and those who need to see that they just need to leave Egypt altogether. They're still there, but they don't maybe know how or why they need to get out. Well, I'm here to tell you, you need to get out. You need to move beyond the place of bondage. This is not what God intended for you. This is not what God wants for you. This is not why Jesus died on the cross so you can just stay in that place. His intent and purpose is to bring you life, and that life abundant. In other words, something beyond the ordinary, something into the extraordinary. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to live in this place where you are captured, where you are chained up by something that you maybe can't even talk about or you're afraid to deal with or look at. because this Jesus has come, according to this passage. He has made a proclamation. It's not just that I'm going to bring the good news to the poor. And my friend, that doesn't mean just those people who don't have any money, all right? But to bring the good news to those who are poor in their spirit, in the sense that they don't have a hope, they don't have a desire, they don't have an ambition, because everything has been taken away from them and robbed from them because they're living in this kind of bondage to sin and death in their life. But he's saying, I've got a good news message for you. I've got something to bring to you, and I'm proclaiming that to you. And then he goes even further and he says, I have been sent to proclaim this liberty to the captives. In other words, if there is something that has a hold of you, if there is something that has a chain around you and you can't get free of it and you haven't been able to get free of it, it's just too much. And all you hear is you hear that rattle of chains all the time. And that's just the enemy's loud voice trying to intimidate you and say, you're never going to make it. You're never going to get anywhere. You're never going to be free. You're going to cycle in. You're going to cycle out. You're going to be here just like you were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It doesn't matter. This is the way it is. This is your lot in life. I'm telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and you can be set free even today. You don't have to wait for a series to end. You don't have to wait to get to several points into the series. You don't have to wait for us to identify that particular sin or that particular bondage in your life. You can be free because Jesus has come to set you free, and he is intent on doing that. And so that's where we're going. And that's where I'm asking you to come with. I'm asking you to jump on this ship and sail with us. I'm asking you to get on this train and ride with us. I'm asking you to come in here and join us shoulder to shoulder. Pastor Dave and I are not standing up here during this sermon series and telling you that we are better than you, holier than thou, or anything like that. I'm telling you, I am a human being. I am a man under bondage. I wrestle with things that the enemy tries to put on me, just like you do. And we're in this together, and you and I need to stand shoulder to shoulder with one another in the body of Christ and see to it that we are all in a place where we can be, not only can be set free, but will be set free, and we're willing to walk the entire gamut of the way with one another. And the reality is, and I don't want to mislead you in any way, when you start talking about sin issues and you start talking about bondages and you start talking about all of these things that hold people down and you call people up out of that place and you're asking people to get free from that and you're talking about words and using words like transparency and openness and honesty and confession, and we teach you about the art of confession and confessing to one another and forgiving one another of each other's sins, and we move you in that direction, you better know some things are going to get messy. That's not a pretty place for a lot of us. That's why you hold it. That's why it's secret to you. That's why you won't let go of it, because it's not a pretty thing to look at. There's shame attached to it. There's guilt attached to it. There's all kinds of other things that come along with it. But what we're saying is, let's have a safe place. Let's have a place that really should be what it's supposed to be, and that is the house of the living God, where Jesus Christ is head and dwells among the people, and where the Holy Spirit is free to move and to convict, and where truth has the power and the ability to set free. And therefore, we bring all of that to the altar of the living God, and we lay it there with the intent and the hope that the chains are broken off of us. And there we find our freedom. And there we live in our peace. You say, Pastor Bill, you're being quite a bit emotional today, and you're being quite passionate today. You doggone right I am. I am sick and tired of my own sin. I'm sick and tired of my own inability to walk in freedom. I'm sick and tired of seeing the enemy ravage you and your life and your marriage and your home and your finances and your thought processes and everything else. I'm tired of families being stuck in places they can't get out of. I'm tired of dreams being dropped. I'm tired of futures being messed up. I'm tired of destinies being thwarted. I'm tired of all of this stuff that the enemy's been able to do to wreak havoc in the lives of God's people. It shouldn't be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. And if the Word of God is real and true and exactly what we are supposed to believe it is, we should not be in the places we are in. And so I'm saying to you, there is a way out. And I'm asking you to jump on board. And Pastor Dave and I are willing to take you through that place. We're willing to take you through that, if you will, maybe for some of you, a wilderness place, a place where you have to have transformation, where transformation has to come to you, all right? Now, many of us, we are very familiar with the word it's the Greek word for church, is ekklesia, all right? And it means, this is what it means. It means called out. Called out. All right, what are we called out of? We're called out of this poor in spirit place. We're called out of this captive place. We're called out of this blind place. I don't believe that this message of Jesus on this day is just about delivering literally physically blind people, but there are people who are blind to the truth, that are bound in darkness, that cannot see the light of Jesus Christ, and Jesus has come to bring that light to them so that they can see. Your eyes and my eyes can be opened clearer than ever if we will yield to what the Spirit of God is trying to do right here. But we are called out of this place of being oppressed, and we are called out of this place of not living in the favor of God. Folks, he rolled up the scroll and then sat down. I don't believe that Jesus was one bit agitated. I don't believe he felt any anxiety. I don't believe he felt any fear. I don't believe he was worried in any way. I believe he was able to sit down and confidently and in a most wonderful, gracious, loving manner say to them, hey, you need to understand that I'm fulfilling this. It's here today. I'm here. The promise is here. And you can be free. And here's what I'm telling you. This same Jesus is here today. He's here. The promise is here. And you can be set free. You can have that same freedom in your life. You don't have to live in that place that you have lived in the past. So we are this church. We know that we are called out ones, all right? We're called out of this world. We're called out of darkness. We're called out of religion. We're called out of our own ways of trying to do things, our own devices, our own abilities at trying to please God, all right? However, even if we have heard the call of God to go out or to come out, we also need to hear the call of God, which is to come in. This isn't about you just getting out of something. That is not the theme, okay? You're not going to hear a theme anywhere in here saying, come out, all right? The theme here is going into your freedom, which is going into a place that really actually does have parameters. It does require submission. It is a place of obedience. It is a place where we need to live inside of some guidelines and some parameters, if you will. But in that place is freedom. And outside of that place is just out. And that's not where we are taking you, all right? The freedom that we are talking about with you today isn't just getting out, but it is understanding we have been called out in the Scriptures, but we are also called into the place that we are in Christ. And so it's not enough for you to just try to break it off. It's not enough for you just to try to get out of it. It is not enough to just have someone look at you and say, knock it off. All right? That doesn't work. That doesn't help. And too long, that's where the passive church has been. All right? It's us saying, oh, I don't want to offend. I don't want to get in your mess. I don't want to deal with your stuff. I just want a nice, clean, sophisticated, uncomplicated church service, and I just want to go to that and sit there and just pretend that I'm okay like everybody else, and then I want to go home and be miserable. That is the awfulest, most awfulest place that I can imagine for any of us to live our whole entire lives. You need to come out of that place of bondage. But you need to come into that place that is in Jesus Christ, all right? We are called into a life with Christ. We're called to come into his kingdom, all right? We're called to live in the kingdom and the glory of God. Read 1 Thessalonians. We're called, according to the book of Colossians, to be one body, to be unified together. We're called to live in peace and harmony in 1 Corinthians, all right? And for this particular series that we're talking about today, we're going to focus on the fact that we are called into freedom. Galatians 5:13. This is the passage that I used with you when I talked about the spiritual discipline of being chaste. All right? And that was simply that you, and this is what it says, you were called to freedom. That is the call of Jesus. The call of Jesus isn't a call for you to feel good. The call of Jesus isn't a call for you to just be happy, all right? The call of Jesus isn't a call for you to not have to worry about circumstances or situations in your life. I don't want you to worry. I don't believe God intends for you to worry. But there are going to be circumstances that are going to buffet you, and you're going to feel like worrying. You're going to feel like entertaining anxiety. You're going to feel like grabbing a hold of fear. These are emotions, and these things are real. And you're going to want to go there and be in those places because they are very familiar places in bondage. But Jesus is saying, no, you're called into the glory of the kingdom of God. You're called into a place of peace. You're called into a place of harmony and unity among others. You don't have to have broken and messed up relationships all the time. You don't have to get messed up on drugs and alcohol. You don't have to go into sexual sin to get your needs met. You don't have to live in all these different kinds of ways and be in that bondage because you have been called out of that place and called into another place. And that is your promised land. And the Israelites of old found themselves subject to Egypt, and they were in bondage to the taskmasters. Most of you know the story. God's chosen people, those called by God, were suddenly bound. And in this bondage, they worked day and night. They toiled in slave labor. And they lived in the bondage of Egypt for years and years and years until God saw fit to call them out of that bondage and into a promise that He had for them, which was a land. And to do that, He raised up a man, and not a perfect man, not the special man, but a man who couldn't talk very well, and a man who was quite insecure and who didn't see himself really as a deliverer, but God used him and called him up to help Israel come out of this bondage. And God promised them a land that they would enter into, and it was a land of promise, a land of milk and of honey, and the description is amazing of what God had for the Israelites. I'm telling you, the life that God has for you, that is freedom in Christ, is an amazing life. And His intent is you no longer live in that place of bondage. I'm telling you, this is your day. This is time. It's time. It's time for you and I to live in our freedom. It's time for you and I to accept the grace of repentance from God and be able to turn from this wickedness. And we're going to talk about repentance, and we're going to talk about temptation. We're going to try to help you find ways out of temptation. We're going to help you walk through the process of what real repentance is and help you to understand the grace of repentance that's given by Jesus to you so that you can continually be in this place of redemption in God. You're not bound. You're not bottled up. You're not paralyzed. You're not blocked in. You're not caged in. The enemy will tell you you are. It will look like you are. It will feel like you are. But I'm telling you, if you are a child of God, you are not only born again, but you are free in Jesus Christ. You've been set free by Christ. You need to live inside of that freedom. You need to understand that God's intent is to take you to a place that you may not even know about. But it's a place that you need to go to. And God will talk to you like He talked to Moses, and He will talk to you like He talked to Abraham, and He will say to you, you got to get up and get out. You can't stay here. It's not going to help you to stay here. It's not going to benefit you to stay here. It could actually even destroy you to stay here. So you've got to get up and you've got to get out. You've got to move to a different place. And you may not know where that place is, and God may not be showing you where that place is yet. But just like the men of old, you have got to be able to do it. It says of the man of God that he went, although he did not. This is the Amplified Bible here, so there's a little extra wording put around this. But it says that when he was called out, he came out, although he did not know, nor did he trouble his mind about where he was to go. And this is what the peace of God is for you to appropriate the ability to obey God and to go with God, even though you don't know where you're going to land. How many times you guys get in a car with somebody and you go, where are we going? Why? Because you need to know where you're going to land. Someone says, let's go. Where are we going? What are we going to do? You need to know. What you need to know is that Jesus died for your sins. He made a way when there was no way. He opened a door that the enemy had tried to shut close. And he did for you what you could not do for yourself. You couldn't earn it if you worked the rest of your life. You couldn't become that special because you're already so special in the eyes of God that he gave his son to die for you. Don't cheapen that amazing gift by trying to work it out yourself. And don't walk away from it and accept a cheap imitation that draws you into bondage and keeps you from the freedom that you've been given through Jesus Christ. The land that we are called out of is presented to us in the Bible as an Egypt, if you will, in the Old Testament. And the promised land, that is our inheritance in Christ. And all of God's work with the Israelites in the Old Testament was indeed to help them get out of their Egypt and into their promised land. That's exactly where God wanted them to be. And we're not only called out of Egypt's slavery and that kind of religion and that kind of labor that is represented by all of that, but we're called into this Christ who is our rest, our inheritance, our promise, if you will. And that's where I want you to live. I want you to live in that place where you're not striving. You're not trying so hard. You're not wrestling so much with all of this to try to convince God or try to impress God or try to pay God enough for him to accept you and love you. He loves you already. You say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I'm carrying. I don't need to know what you've done. I don't need to know what you're carrying. All you need to know is that there is a God who is carrying you through his son, Jesus Christ. And his intent is that you roll this burden of sin and bondage off of yourself and onto him and let others in the body help you as well. We join our hearts together and we join our minds together and we join our faith together and we see freedom come to the body of Christ. God told the Israelites, he says, the land that you will go in and possess is not like the land of Egypt. It's not the same place. It doesn't even work the same way. It's not like that from which you have come out of, all right, where you sowed your seed and you watered it with your foot laboriously as a garden of vegetables. It's a strange term, they watered with their feet, but you have to understand that they were slaves, and oftentimes in the famines, when the rains would not come, the Egyptians would require the Israelites to go, and they would be on these pedal pumps, and they would have to pedal with their feet day and night to pump water out of the Nile to irrigate the farmland so that the crops would grow and flourish. And the Israelites would not be able to harvest those crops that they worked so hard to water because those crops were for the Egyptian people. And so they were literally slave labor there. And he says, this is a different place. This isn't like the place where you watered with your feet. The rains will come from heaven. And it will water the land. In other words, you don't have to work to get this favor. You don't have to work to receive this blessing. It's done for you. It's taken care of. All right? The freedom is yours. You gotta understand it, and you gotta press into it and grab a hold of it and take hold of it and stop trying to work for it. Stop trying to earn it. Stop trying to make it happen in some way and living in this habitual cycle of you work so hard and then you sin and then you feel guilt and shame and remorse and then you work so hard again because you still gotta prove to God that you're okay and you keep doing that over and over and it's just an unending cycle of work and labor in your own flesh to try to make you something that God has already given to you out of the freedom that he has brought to you on the cross of Calvary. He says, this land I'm going to take you into, this promised land, it's a land with hills and valleys and it drinks the water from the rain of the heavens. It's a land for which your Lord, your God cares for. And the eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year to the end of the year.
In other words, the promise that I am with you and I will never leave you or forsake you is real. And that's what you have today. You have this promise that this God will take care of you. He will bless you and he will free you up. All right? But he goes on. In Deuteronomy, he says, if you will just heed, if you'll be diligent and you'll heed my commandments, which I command you, he says, if you will love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with your entire being, this is Deuteronomy chapter 11, beginning at verse 10 there, he says, I will give the rain for your land in its season, the early rain, the latter rain, and you'll gather your grain and your new wine and your oil. It doesn't have to be hard, folks. It doesn't have to be difficult. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in that way is death. But there is a way that is right in Christ that brings life. And you can have that. You can experience that. You can get out of that Egypt that you've been dwelling in, and you can walk into that promised land with God. And his intent is to give you that freedom. And he will give you the ability to maintain that garden, if you will, that place of inheritance, that promise. He will give you all that you need. See, Egypt is about slavery. It is about bondage. It is about working for and pleasing man or pleasing yourself. But the promised land is a place of freedom. It's a place of rest spiritually that you and I need to find, that we need to be in. It's a place of God's provision. It's a place of finding true contentment and true godly satisfaction that is in God. And so you're not having to look around and see what's out there and battle with the enemy's temptations and what he's trying to put in front of you to say, no, this is better. This will do you more. This is what you really need. And caving in and succumbing to that temptation. This series is all about getting free of all of that. Moving far away from that, okay? Now, I hope I've convinced you enough there with what I've said, but let me just talk to you for a few minutes here from my heart. I have no desire to see a single person in this church in any way shamed or demeaned are put out, are embarrassed, are hurt. I'm not demanding things of you here. I'm asking you to come in. There are a lot of you that you've been in Life Church for some time, long time. I remember when I was a little boy, and I've probably shared this with at least some of you in the past. I remember when I was a little boy, I wasn't very athletic. And we would have time to play on the playground. And the teachers would give us balls and things, you know. And so we're going to have a game. Sometimes it was a real game, like a baseball game. Sometimes it was just a made-up game. We just made up our rules, but we played. But we always had to have teams. You had to be on a team. You had to be chosen. And so there was always a couple of guys who were pretty athletic, you know. They were pretty agile, even though they were 9. Yeah. And they got to be the two who got to pick the teams. And I hated that day, and I hated that moment, because I would always hear all the other names before I heard my name. And I would look at the one other kid who was standing there, because we were the last two. And we both knew what we thought. Our brains were very much aligned. Nobody wants us, but they have to take us because we're the last ones. The only thing worse was the day when it was an odd number of guys. And you didn't get picked. And so you had to go and stand behind the fence. And it was a chain link fence, and you would stand there and you'd put your fingers through the links of the fence and you'd just kind of hold on. And you just kind of press your head Matter of fact, sometimes you'd go back to class and your teacher would say, what is that on your head? Because it would be indented with the links of the fence. Because you'd just be looking. Because you know what? The best you could do was press in. That's as close as you could get. You could never get any closer because you weren't chosen. And so you were on the outside looking in. You so wanted to belong. You so wanted to be a part. But you just couldn't because you weren't chosen. The enemy of hell will put you on the outside of the fence and say, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you can't do it, you're not wanted, you can't be chosen, you're not going to be chosen, you don't get to be a part of this thing. And I'm telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And some of you have been living there, and it's like, I want to serve God. I want to be a part of things. I want to be active in the church. I want to be in fellowship. I want to hang out with God's people. I want to. But you're back there. And the best we get from you is you walk in, and we see the imprint. Oh, he's pushing in. She's pushing in. But you never cross over. You never get on the other side of the fence. From Egypt, Israel had to reach the river. And at the river, the symbolism really of the death, the washing away of everything old, stepping into everything new, stepping on the other side, and living in the promised land. Not that everything was perfect in the promised land, but living in the promise. Living in the promised land, the place where God intended for them to be. This crossover was this amazing place that happened in the life of God's people. And they saw the enemy destroyed. It wasn't that there weren't new enemies on the other side. Please understand that. But that old enemy that represented slavery and being bound by that sin was gone. And it's a new day because they've crossed over, if you will. In other words, they no longer stayed on the outside of the fence looking in, but they came around. They came into where they needed to be. And you know why they could do that? Because they were chosen of God. Precious in his sight. And I'm going to tell you what, the ground at the foot of the cross of Calvary is an even plane for every single person ever created. It doesn't matter what you've done or what you're carrying. At that place, you find the promise. You find life. And that's where I want to take you. That's where I want you to go. That's where I want you to be. And so Israel, when they crossed over, they started to remember. It became the night to be most remembered, which is the night that ancient Israel left Egypt. They got out. They moved out of this place. And Israel's outcoming, if you will, from Egypt, and their incoming into the promised land. This was an enormous spiritual moment for Israel. And it's an enormous analogy for you and I to grab a hold of today and say, you know what? I have that place, or I want that place. And it's yours today. It's mine today. So we just need to pack our bags. We want to, but we need to just pack our bags. And we need to move out of this spiritual Egypt, out of this darkness, out of this ignorance of the ways of God, out of this disobedience, out of this place of continually feeding into sin. Because he wants us to come out of the wilderness of sin. And just like ancient Israel did, he wants us heading for the promised land. And I want to tell you something. I don't want to mislead you. It's not an imperfection step over into perfection thing. That is not what we're talking about. Folks, you've got so much grace right now. I'm going to tell you something. There is a grace in Life Church for this place we are in and what God wants to do. I told Pastor Dave this morning, I have for the last 3 or 4 days felt the most amazing sense of grace in my own life. And I believe it's because this is the season that we're in. This is what God is wanting to do. And it is like a window of time. It is an opportunity for you right now. When Esther was debating whether or not she would go before the king. And her adoptive father basically says, could it be that you were born for such a time as this? And that word for time in the Old Testament, it has connotations of like a window that's opened, but it will shut. What he's saying is the door's opened, the window's opened. It just came open, Esther. Could this be yours? Is this the opportunity? And he says, God will do this. God will save us. God will rescue us. But are you the one? Is this your window? Is this your opportunity? Is this that place in time for such a time as this? And the idea there is that this is like this. Like God strikes with you in a moment like no other. You and God are there. And it's that moment that something phenomenal can happen. Don't miss it. Is it such a time as this for Life Church? Yes, it is for us. And I believe that God has something dynamic for you in this series that we are undertaking here. And so we need to take this journey, if you will. Amen? I'm going to ask you to come with. Aubrey, come up here for a minute. Can I have the microphone, Pastor? Ask Aubrey to help me this morning. Aubrey's just going to explain this gospel to you a little bit here. And then after she does, I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask something of you. Okay? So please do this.
All right. So as Bill has been saying, Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises, and he is the one who we need to press into, who has chosen us. God made us to be in relationship with him, and we often choose sin, and we often choose to walk away from him, and he's not content to leave us there. And so he sent Jesus to us, fully God, but fully man, to live here, to show us what it's like to actually be in right relationship with God, to seek him out, to avoid temptation, to overcome all of that. He's shown us how to do that by living here among us. And he went to the cross for us. Our sin deserves to be punished, and he took all of that on for us. And he died for us, for our sin, and for all of that shame to go with him. And then 3 days later, he didn't leave it there. He rose from the dead, breaking the ultimate bondage of death over our lives. And he's promised to give us the same life. He's promised to redeem us that far, that death cannot hold us, and that we will be in right relationship with him on this earth if we choose to live with him and give our lives to him and into eternity. And that's the gospel news. That's the good news. That is what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. And that is where we have to decide what we're going to do.
Amen. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's it right there. That is the message. The rescuer has come, and his intent is to rescue you. All right? If you're on board, if you heard this today and it resonated in your heart, and you're like one of those people who said, you know what, I'm tired of whatever bondage is in my life, and I want to be free, would you just stand in the room with me right now? Just stand up. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you know that there's a better place for you, and you know that God has something more for you, you want to be set free from that. I'm telling you, he's here. And we're going to do this together. And there's an open door at Life Church for you to be set free. So let me pray for you. When I'm done praying, there's going to be a prayer team that's going to walk up here. I want to pray for them with you first before they walk up here. But there's a prayer team, as soon as we're done praying, that is going to come to the front. And if you want to start some of this today even, you can do that. We're going to open the window and have food and all of that. But right now, there's a moment where I believe God wants to seal this today. And you've stepped over now, all right? By standing up, you've stepped over and you're saying, hey, I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to get free. Praise God. Praise God for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and him alone. Amen. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I just come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, no other. There is no other name to come in because the name of Jesus is above every other name on the face of the earth and in all the heavens above. You have all authority and power and dominion. It's been given to you, Jesus. And so we ask you to release that power over Life Church right now. I ask you, God, that you do an amazing work, Lord, of deliverance in Life Church. I pray for the spirit of deliverance to fall upon this congregation. I pray for our hearts to be uniquely open. I pray for an unimaginable level of grace to enter into the hearts and the minds of your people that will allow them to look at their own hearts. Father, in your word, you promise that you will clean our hearts, that even though they be as red as scarlet, they will be white as snow. I ask you for that kind of work to happen in the hearts of your people. You tell us in your word that you will replace a heart of stone with a heart of flesh. Lord, I pray for that kind of work to be done in Life Church. Father, you say in your word that you will take a divided heart and you will give us singleness of heart so that we are not living in duplicities. And we don't have secrets out there in living one life and another life. I pray, God, that you will do that work in the people of Life Church, God. That you will give us singleness of heart. That you will take away the hardness of our hearts. And that you will cleanse our hearts from all filthiness of this life and this world of sin. I pray, God, that you would deliver. That you would do exactly what you promised in your word, Lord. That exactly what you say you came to do, Jesus. That you will set the captives free, Father, that you will come and proclaim this wonderful good news to those of us who are poor in spirit, God. I pray, Lord, that blinded eyes would be opened to be able to see the truth of your word, Father. I pray, God, that you would do an amazing work of liberating us from all the bondages that are in our lives. And I pray that today, God, your people have indeed stepped over and we are no longer in our Egypt, but we are now in our promise. God, let us live in that promise in a way that glorifies and honors you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.